Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to Heat Weekly on the Miami Heat Radio Network. The latest news, notes, and interviews from your Miami Heat. Here's Tommy Tighe.
Everybody with me, let me hear you now. Yeah, 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 yeah. This is our house. These are my people, miss, so this is my town. This is our house. Ain't nobody nowhere gonna knock it down.
As the Heat have done so many times in the past, and the way things have started out, the big building off Biscayne, this group seems to want to rival some of the great teams of the past around here. A 12-4 record prior to turning on the Friday night lights in the FTX Arena, now 13-4. Rated right up there with some of the best teams in the league, but now they have an entire second half of the season to establish what they want to have as far as a real home court advantage, what it's going to be, what it comes down to. I think it's the nitty and the gritty in their house, in their town, and they're going to knock it down. Hi, everybody. It is the Ides of January edition of the program, getting ready to get past the middle part of the first month of the calendar, as we already got through the first 41 games on the schedule, heading into what should be an entertaining month of January in the final 3 months of the season. I'm Tommy Tighe, along with Matt Wilson at the controls per usual, as well as Miami has played in the big building off Biscayne. There's only so much you can attain to be among the greatest teams, and the Heat is trying to replicate that. That 2013 club, that's unattainable. They only lost four games all season. And there were other great teams. 2012, five. Well, of course, there was a lockout. 2020, five. Well, of course, there was the start of the pandemic, but the percentages were impressive indeed. There are other strong Heat clubs who played all 82 games. 2005 club, six losses. 2000, eight defeats. 2014, nine. 2006, 10. Those are the creme de la creme, and this group can be mentioned in the same breath, already defying the odds and maybe saving the best for last in the months of March and April. As for the moment, far from shabby. Time for the week in review. In an odd scheduling quirk, the Heat return from the West Coast in the wee hours of Sunday after eclipsing the Suns Saturday night by 23 to end that part of the road journey. Three victories in five tries. After a couple of days off and a solid practice Tuesday, the team was back on Heat Force One en route to Atlanta for a one-game trip, meeting their struggling rivals in the Georgia State Capitol on Wednesday. In the early going, it seemed as if the brief break might have the opposite effect as Miami stumbled out of the gate, falling behind 13-2 4.5 minutes into the contest. Of course, basketball is a 48-minute affair, and there was obviously no fear, especially if you have Hero.
Hero now. We're going to pick and roll with Dedmon. Doesn't use it. Goes the other way. Flips it up with the left hand. Scooped it up. Kissed it off the glass on the left side for two. He's got six, leading all Heat scores.
And all six have been attacking drives, finishing at the rim. Miami has 10 points in the paint. Tyler has six of them himself.
The deficit in half, trailing by six after one, the high-flying Hawks were hitting a robust 58% from the field. In the second stanza, the Heat began to mount a comeback.
Top of the key, three from Caleb Martin. He knocks it down.
Well, Caleb, as a starter, shooting 45% from behind the arc. Gets a long three to go at top of the key.
Making his presence felt, cutting the deficit into a one-possession game. They continue to find the right mix with starters and former first fivers doing some damage from inside and out.
Atlanta with the lead, 8-49, but we got a tighter game, so it feels a little better. Duncan, top of the key three. That feels delicious. So that must be three-licious.
Duncan, 8 of 16 in the last game versus Phoenix. That's a nice quick action for him to get an open look.
Bringing the visitors all the way back, and now momentum was on their side.
Here's Hero, other side. His left hand's A-OK with a lay-in on the other end.
A lot of Tyler's attacks tonight have been to his left hand, able to get a step around the defense and finishing over top.
Continuing to dazzle the home team with a variety of moves. Every time number 14 had the ball, he was weaving magic with it.
Tyler pulls it out to the arena logo on the far side. Here comes Young. Bogdanović and Young wanted to trap, but he gets it to PJ. Back to Tyler. Back to PJ. The little flipper. Bounces around a little bit, but then slips through the net.
Capping a 15-5 run that had them in control by five heading into the locker room. After tasting orange slices with some Hawaiian punch, the Heat came out energized to start the third quarter, really on both ends of the floor.
Bogdanović from 25 feet. He missed. He's 2-for-7 from out there. Strus. Again. Tremendous top of the key three knocked down by Strus. He's 3-of-4 from the land of milk and honey. He has 11. It's 64-51 Heat.
On back-to-back triples from Strus, a Kyle Lowry three boosted the margin to a sweet 16, and the hits just kept on coming.
Lowry to Tucker. Left dark. He hands off to Strus. Back to Tucker. Wide open. Left corner pocket. Splash! And I mean, Atlanta called timeout before that ball was through the net.
A 33-point swing putting Miami ahead by 22 after a quick work stoppage by Mr. McMillan. The hosts responded with a 10-2 burst of their own to make it interesting. However, the Heat were up to the task.
PJ with the rebound, his sixth. He gets it to that stay soft throw wearing a number two. That's Gabe, who is launching the three and knocks it down.
And Gabe, one of those guys that's just as good shooting off the dribble as he is on catch and shoot. That time advances the ball, able to knock down the three.
No matter who was letting it fly, the Heat had 19 heading to the final 12 minutes where Miami continued to hold steady and Atlanta was having problems on the interior.
Dunk it into Yurt. Oh, he wanted to just cram it. He did. It went out to the edges. Pulled in by Tyler. Back to Yurt for the two-hand smush.
We love the aggression that Yurt's attacking the basket, though. I mean, just the fact that he tried to posterize their defense.
With the Heat in complete control, to close things off, we do need another hero long-distance dedication to ice this thing.
Duncan, three ball, left side, doesn't go. Yurtseven, rebound of the offensive variety. His eighth, Tyler for three. Splash! Everybody put the tarp up! Water's in the air. Particulate of the moisture variety.
Whatever works. Hero masterful, missing a triple-double by one rebound. Miami wins its third straight, 115-91, heading home for the first of four Friday against these same Hawks. Unlike the start two nights before, the Heat continue to come out and give their fans a show whenever they play there. They welcome back Jimmy Butler, whose energy seemed to rub off on everybody in the building, and I mean everyone.
Offensive knockout. It's not really a full rebound. Got the PJ, then the Strus, who's loose for more juice. I don't care if they don't like it on the other side. You just have to open up and just gurgle it.
Oh, no, but I love the offensive rebound. PJ, quick pass out. Strus wide open.
For his second straight three, and the thirst was quenched as Miami was taking it to the max of their first 27 points. He had 16, and his Midas touch began to get contagious.
Here's Jimmy working on Herter. Hits it to the right corner. PJ wide open. Three ball. Splash.
Atlanta, not a good defensive team, but that's on full display right now. Miami taking advantage of every breakdown defensively.
Showing little signs of life, bringing back memories of the previous contest. But then the second units came on, and the Hawks sub showed some grit, closing the gap to 10 after 1. Then they picked up their play even more in the second. A 14-3 burst gave the Birds their first lead, and then the teams began trading hoops.
Top of the key, three by Lowry, rips the net.
Nice handoff. Trae Young opts to go under that screen. Lowry, nice read, pulls back and lets it fly.
From distance, once Strus cooled off, Miami needed others to pick up the slack.
Baseline out of bounds. Lowry, Yurtseven, back to Lowry for three. Threelicious! Open up and say, oh, that tastes yummy from Kyle.
Tying the tilt again, which seemed to be the norm for each squad. Atlanta, however, scored 8 of the last 10 points to lead by 6 heading into recess. In the third, the Heat hung close due to really the exploits of one man, and I'm talking about the man in the middle.
Jimmy with the pick, pushing the other way. Gets it into the right corner. PJ gets it to Yurtseven. Yurt, left-handed flipper, got the whistle, got the bucket. Send that man to the line.
10 third quarter points continue to make Miami relevant as they're only trailed by 5 as others finally woke up to knock down shots.
Tyler, three ball, left corner pocket, splash.
Nice, quick decision by Yurtseven, too. It's a give-and-go action. Tyler relocates to the corner and knocks down the three.
His first in the night, and the kid was just warming up. Anytime it seemed the Hawks would strike, Miami was attempting to tie one on.
Lowell dribbles in, kicks it out to Duncan. He moves it right to Tyler. Tyler, right arc three. Good! Tyler Herro with the three ball. He has three tonight. He has 18 points. We have a two-point game.
105-103. Hero Ball had stepped to the forefront, making plays almost every time down.
Tyler, inbound. Three ball. Knocks it down as he falls down. And the Heat try to get up and push back. It's a one-point game.
112-111. The visitors responded with a DeAndre the Giant Hunter hoop, but Miami counter by letting his six-time All-Star shine.
Fade from the left side. Doesn't go. Offensive rebound. Martin. He gets it to Tucker. Tucker to Lowry. Top of the key. Left-hand dribble into the paint. Pulls it back to the left arc. Six on the shot clock. Fires a three. Trifecta. You betcha. We're tied at 114.
With 2 minutes to go, Hunter and Butler exchanged baskets again. Then it became a free throw shooting contest with the Heat taking control until number 22 could deliver the points of no return.
Here's Jimmy driving the paint on the chest of Collins. Flips it with his left hand for two.
His return to the lineup aiding into a fourth straight victory, 23 points in the night, 12 games over 500 now, seventh in a row at home, a season-high 124-118 victory, and you wake up Saturday morning and Miami, folks, is one game behind the top-seeded Chicago Bulls in the East, and who knows, by Sunday morning, they play Boston, you play Philadelphia, they could be on top. Heat Nation, after the team's six-game road swing ended midweek, the Southeast leaders are in South Florida for a while. With seven in the next eight games at FTX Arena throughout the month, we want you with us. So check out single-game tickets available now at heat.com/tickets and root the fellas on as they try to climb the ladder like they are in the Eastern Conference. Up next, it's Zach to the Future. AM 560 morning co-host Zach Krantz joins us in a matter of moments. This is Heat Weekly.
Now back to Heat Weekly on the Miami Heat Radio Network. Here's Tommy Tighe.
You know, my main thing is just, you know, I can see the floor really well. So just being able to, you know, slow my mind down and just, you know, not rushing myself. I think if I play at my, you know, my pace, you know, I can have, you know, I can play like this every night.
To have an offensive advantage in each game, and who's going to doubt Tyler Hero taking off in year three of his career? Hi, everybody, and welcome to the weekliest of Heat. Hey, Heat fans, during non-event days at the FTX Arena, such as Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday of next week. Sunday, they're playing the Lakers. So it's Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday of next week. Get COVID vaccinations and testing. Thanks to Nobi Health, you can get PCR and rapid antigen testing, as well as Pfizer, Moderna, J&J vaccinations, and booster shots. The service is free behind the arena at the Dan Paul Plaza on the east side of the bay. So take advantage now, sitting on the dock of the bay, getting a swab in your nose. Welcome to 2022. Let's get the party started in the leadoff spot. How about somebody who starts everybody's day the right way? The talented morning co-host on 560 WQAM, 6 to 10 a.m. Monday to Friday, Zach Krantz joins us. Hello, Zach. Welcome back to the program.
Tommy, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Not too bad, thanks. Number 14 continues to amaze us, Zach, game after game. The game that jumps off the page to me for Tyler is Wednesday when he had the 9 rebounds to go with the 11 assists. He was only one rebound away, and he almost had it down the stretch of the contest. I'll get to his scoring in just a second, but start with the other factors in his game that you're watching. Is he just starting to unlock his potential with so many things he can do on the court?
It sure looks like it, right? We know he's a scorer, and we knew, you know, he always said he's open. He's always could hit that shot. Like when he came in here, he had the swagger because he knew he could score. But yeah, his game is evolving, and they're not asking him to do so much more. He's just doing it. You know, like he's not like the pressure's not on him to, hey, listen, when you're out there, make sure you are getting all your assists. Make sure you are getting rebounds. No, he's just evolving into a better player. You can see it, and it's fun to watch because we know he can score. We know he can shoot. We know he can be the leader out there and you know, play the point guard role when he needs to. But, man, if his game evolves like this, he's got serious potential that I think he's kind of unlocking himself.
I remember when he first came here, he often said he wants people to know him as a complete player. And in his first couple of years, especially at the beginning, just like you said, he was a shooter slash scorer and really didn't do much else. You saw a little bit of those areas. Yet right now, is there a certain comfort level that he's showing with the ball in his hands, making plays regardless of who they're playing against and who's guarding him?
Yeah, I think that the confidence is kind of led into him from the team. You know, like, you know, his position at first, and we can go back to when bubble Tyler till now, and we knew what his game kind of looked like, but I think Spoelstra's just kind of given him a ton of confidence. And what that's done for him is he sees it through his team also. His team knows when he's out there, he's kind of the guy. I mean, he can be on the floor with Jimmy, and he's the number one option. Like, the confidence level that they have in Tyler, I think has given him everything when it comes to expanding his game. And I give that – listen, we could talk about how – the Heat make players better in their system and their culture and everything. Tyler came in pretty good, and he's going to be exceptional, I think, by the time it's all said and done and he's going to be a perennial. I think he's going to be a perennial all-star coming off the bench, which is not a very easy thing to do, but I think he's going to be that.
You might be right. On the road trip, we mentioned it a week ago that Tyler misses in those games, 12, 15, twice, 18, yet it added up to a couple of victories. Is it easier to accept these 5 for 23, 7 of 22, when you know he's capable of making big plays down the stretch, even in those games, and then you look at what he's done in these last three games where he seems as confident as ever in what he wants to do, and it just seems like he's more consistent in what he wants to do. And this, I think, to me, is at least the best three-game stretch I've seen him play at least this year.
Yeah, no, I think you're right about that. You can just tell when he's kind of in that zone and he looks like he's kind of in that now. Yeah, it's easier to take a night where he's not shooting well and doing, you know, his thing, the Tyler thing, if they are going to win that game or come close to it. You know, it stinks when he has two games in a row where he's just not shooting well or it doesn't look like it's happening for him. But, man, that's kind of the way we've seen players in the past. And if you watch basketball for a long time, you see when a guy has two bad, three bad, four bad games in a row and then all of a sudden just pops out of it, mm-hmm. you know that's a good player because he's got confidence in himself. And the team does too, because a lot of the times you see a guy come on the court, not shoot well, but not a really big part of the team action out there, and you don't see him again for a game or two. You know, they kind of cool him off. With Tyler, it's, all right, you missed 18 shots tonight. We got a game tomorrow, so make sure you shoot another 20 tomorrow. Like, they just have the confidence, and I think that helps Tyler out when he does have a bad night to get back on track.
We're speaking with Zach Krantz, heard mornings 560 WQAM with Joe Rose, Monday to Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. He's joining us today on Heat Weekly. And early in the season, he brought up in an interview that he belongs in the same breath as some of the great young stars in the game, Trae Young, Luka Doncic, all-star caliber players. And I know people kind of scoff nationally around there and thought, Tyler Hero off his first couple years, he really belongs, you know, when you're talking about great young players. Is he beginning or already solved what detractors are saying about him? Is he inching closer to that level, what you've seen this year?
I mean, I think he has to be. Yeah, I mean, I think the whole debate on that was, well, Luka starts and Trae Young starts. Okay, great, who cares? Like, if everyone at the end of the night plays 35 to 38 minutes, it's always like, and Ron Rothstein said this a couple times when he came on the show with me and Joe, he said, it doesn't matter who starts. It's who's on the court at the end of the game when you need them, and Tyler's always on the court at the end of the game when you need them. Yeah, so is Trae Young and Luka, of course, and they're going to play their 40 minutes. But look at the box scores. It's not like, you know, Tyler's playing 18 minutes a game and he's just in there when he needs to be. He's the first guy off the bench. When they need scoring, he's the first guy that they go to. He's as good as those guys, I think, in a category of getting better as a player. Trae and Luka just have more hype around them. Mm-hmm. But if Tyler plays the same way he's playing, if he's not put in that category, someone's not looking at him right.
He was asked after the Hawks game on Wednesday if he watches other players to get a read on what they can do to help him out. I remember when he first entered the league, and I'm sure he told you guys the same thing, that he would bring up Devin Booker, CJ McCollum, mostly shooters. The other night he said Steve Nash. Has he evolved into knowing what he's capable of, that his game is that much different from what he once was to what he is right now out on the court?
Well, he was always, you know, known probably as a shooter in high school, and then when he got to college, he was a shooter. When he got to the NBA, he was drafted as the guy who could shoot the ball. So, yeah, those comparisons I would throw out there, too, in the beginning for yourself. But then when all of a sudden you become a better, more rounded basketball player, that's one of the best answers any player's given. And not just a good answer, but something that fans, I think, want to hear, too. He's not just thinking of himself as a guy who gets the ball and shoots. I'm a playmaker now. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what my game has evolved into, and that's what this team needs me to do, and I'm a playmaker. I wanted to give him a standing ovation when I heard that, because that's the answer that I want. I don't want him to say he's, you know, the next Ray Allen, you know, even though that would be great. But because Ray Allen was just such a great shooter and scorer. No, Steve Nash was the MVP for being the best point guard in the league for a couple years, scoring 20 points a game, but also dishing out 13, 14 assists. So, yeah, I'll take that. That's a great answer, a very well-respected answer on my part from Tyler Hero, because that makes me think he's growing not just as a player but as a person.
We're chatting with 560 WQAM, Zach Krantz here on Heat Weekly. Tyler was joined on the second unit this week by Duncan Robinson once he came back from the COVID protocols. This coming off the bench idea seemed to work out on the road. 15 of 32 from three in the first couple of games that he played. He says, whatever it takes, I'll come off the bench, I'll start. But what might he add if the lineup does stay like this?
Well, this is the exact same thing I thought of when Tyler was first put on the bench and, you know, he was said, hey, he's gonna be our first guy off there. Listen, when Jimmy and Bam are back, you got a pretty good kind of 1-2 punch when you start that game. And even Kyle Lowry, I don't want to take anything away from Kyle or anyone else that starts for this team. But then just imagine when you bring in that second unit, and a lot of teams bring in their second units, and they're pretty good. They're not great, but they're pretty good. And all of a sudden, he brings in two guys that could start. I mean, two legitimate starters. Duncan and Tyler could start. And then it's, hey, shoot, it's your team when you're out there. Like Tyler and Duncan, when you're out there, you're the one and the two option. Even when sometimes Jimmy's out there. So I love it. I think this is just a way for Spoelstra to kind of look around and say, I didn't know how deep my team was because of the young guys at the beginning of the year, but I've got one heck of a deep team now when I can bring two starters totally off the bench. And on given nights, either one of those guys or both can go for 20-plus. That's an unbelievable thing for Eric Spoelstra to have in his back pocket.
The bout with the virus robbed him of several games that ended his consecutive game streak. He still played 39 this year, which has him on a pace for 70-something games, which he's done the last couple of years, which could get him to the ballpark area of what, 240, 250 threes. Do we still consider that a good year for him, or is him shooting 36%, which is down from what we've seen the last 2 years, disappointing? Do we have to look at it based on just numbers with Duncan Robinson in his career?
Well, unfortunately, you know, the numbers are going to be the one thing around Duncan that I think is going to be better. It's going to be his kind of blueprint for what he is as an NBA player. And that's unfortunate because he is getting his game a little bit better. He's not evolved into, you know, someone who's just a defensive stop or anyone like that. That's just not part of his, you know, full part of his game right now. It could get there, but he's a three-point specialist. So if he's out there and he's shooting, like you said, 36% is down from last year. I know that there's some games missed. Yeah, it's unfortunate for him, but if he doesn't put up good numbers, it's going to look like he didn't have a good season. So he needs to kind of jump back on track a little bit. But we kind of know what we have in Duncan. He's going to have a couple nights where he's just not shooting well, and then all of a sudden he's going to jump in maybe the starting lineup one night and start the game 7-for-7 shooting three-pointers. We know what we have with Duncan, but it is unfortunate for him because when someone else from the outside looking in says, oh, how's Duncan Robinson doing after getting that massive contract, that big contract? Oh, he's down shooting, not starting now. Yeah, he must be struggling, and maybe it was a bad signing. No, we know what we have here with Duncan. I'm not worried about Duncan. He's going to get hot at certain points. He's going to have some cold nights, but overall, you have your three-point, your specialist. That's all that matters to me and to the Heat team, I'm assuming, at this point.
Last thing, the road record after going 4-2 is 14-11 with wins over teams like Brooklyn, Chicago, Utah, Phoenix. 25 games in the books away from home, Zach, already, and a five-gamer coming up in early February, which means you'll only have 11 left when you get to the middle of February to the end of the season. Have they more than established they're a good road team by who they've beaten with the quality of wins?
I'm sure a lot of teams are looking at them thinking, oh, no, the Heat are coming to town. Uh-huh. You know, like, because this is not a team you want to play when they're even at close to full strength. Yeah, I think it was a great stretch for them having all these away games at the beginning of the season because you'll have a nice stretch now when you're getting guys back in the fold like Bam and Jimmy where you're going to be at home and you're going to feel a little bit easier. The game's going to feel a little bit easier because you are at home. But I don't think it matters to this team. This team, you know, there's a lot of teams where they are a Dr. Jekyll and Hyde team when they're on the road and at home, and it's not with this team. I don't think it matters. If they're at STX, they're playing at Brooklyn, or they're, you know, in L.A., it doesn't matter at this point. They're just built for this. They're built. A lot of teams are built for the regular season. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying the Heat aren't. I think the Heat are built for the playoffs. Like, hey, you want to play three at your house and four at ours, or four at our house and three at yours? We don't care. We're just ready to go. And I think that's why this is the best part of this Heat team. That's why they're so scary, because it's not like they're playing just unbelievable at home and, we go on the road and we can't really score. We're not that great. No, they're kind of the same team both places. And like I said, that's going to pay dividends for them when they're close to being 100% healthy, which no team will ever be. And then all of a sudden they start this little playoff kick right here. I think it's going to be a very dangerous team this evening.
Zach, first time with us in 2022, even better than 2021. Thanks as always for the insight. We'll do it again soon.
Tommy, always my pleasure talking to you. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Zach Krantz, heard mornings, QAM 560, 6 to 10 a.m. with Joe Rose, Monday to Friday. Still ahead, we never let our guard down. Heat backcourt stalwart Kyle Lowry joins us in mere moments. You're listening to Miami Heat Audio Experience.
Now back to Heat Weekly on the Miami Heat Radio Network. Here's Tommy Tighe.
He has a just unique ability to just find people in little moments and little windows where they're maybe don't even look like they open, but he kind of has that feel for it. He's a luxury to play with. You know, he doesn't turn the ball over, super unselfish. And, you know, when he's aggressive, I think that's when he's at his best, you know, still hunting for his own offense because, you know, he just becomes even more of a threat.
Than he is when Kyle Lowry is orchestrating his brilliance on the court doing other things, making Duncan Robinson and his teammates' lives that much easier. Welcome back, everybody. We're on once a week. It's about the Heat. Heat Weekly. So simple. It's brilliant. Hey, Heat fans, it's never too early to start planning for college. We know education is expensive. That's why Your Miami Heat Charitable Fund has teamed with Bank United to offer local graduating high school seniors the chance to earn $25,000 in college scholarship funds. Applications can be found online at heat.com/scholarships. The deadline to apply now is only 2 weeks away, Saturday, January the 29th, so act now. Kyle Lowry grew up a true Philadelphia kid, and it showcased probably since the first day he stepped on the hardwoods of Cardinal Doherty when he first stepped into the national stage of Villanova. Saw it again. And throughout his time in the NBA, a career that began the year the Heat was defending its first title. The six-time All-Star and proud owner of a championship ring from 2019 and a gold medal with Jimmy Butler in Rio has been everything the Heat would have asked for and then some. On the court, he's been a calming influence, hovering around the top 10 in assists all season long, but even scoring his lowest since 2013, another special year in Miami Hoop history. Lowry has been instrumental in the team's success, stepping on the floor to play the game against the team that he was rooting for back in the day on Saturday night, wanted to kick their you-know-what in the second of four meetings. I talked with Lowry and asked him, forget what everybody else says about him as a player. What is his definition of the type of performer he is?
Just a pure basketball player. I'm a winner. You know, I hate to – yeah, I don't boast or brag. One thing I will say is I'm a winner. I don't care about anything but winning. That's all that really matters when it comes to, you know, competitive sports to me is winning.
But it seems to me that you're like a fine wine. I mean, you had a nice start to your career,
yeah.
But all of a sudden things began to come together for you.
Yeah.
And life almost began at 30, all things considered. I mean, how do you describe something like that, that you have that ability, that you've been able to do that the way that you have up to this point right now?
It was like 27, 28. Is
when yeah, give
began.
Or take.
just, you know, understanding that technology's changed, understanding as you get more mature, you understand that, you know, things, you understand life differently. You understand the game differently. You understand who you are differently. You kind of grow into yourself a lot better than what you do when you're 20, 21, 22. I mean, I've been in the league 16 years now. So, you know, first couple, I'm still a child, not understanding what it is, right? I'm in the man's league, but we're not necessarily mentally ready, physically ready to be able to step up. And, you know, once I got to a spot where I was kind of given the keys and given the support, you know, that's what they did for me in Toronto with Coach Casey and Brian Colangelo and then Masai and, you know, Nick now recently. Dude, once they gave me the keys, you just kind of run with it and you show what you can do.
Then what exactly did those early years with Memphis and Houston really show you that started formulating you to become the type of player you've become?
This is a business. You know, I was fortunate enough to be there on draft day when they drafted another point guard in front of me and Mike Conley. Mm-hmm. And Mike Conley's had a great career, one of my good friends, and they did a great job by drafting Mike. But this is it was a true business. You have to be a professional in your sport. You have to be at your level to be you do your craft, right? And the early years for me, and then when I got to Houston, understanding that I had to find what was my job. What do you do at the best? What keeps you on the floor? And was playing hard and pushing the pace and leading the second unit. I always believed I was a starter, and once I was given a chance to do it, I proved it.
Then all of a sudden, the keys to the kingdom end up with you in Toronto.
Yeah.
How did you describe your start there? Could you ever have envisioned anything like that happening for you?
I was rocky for the first couple of days, month. I mean, I was started off really hot. I was coming off surgery, first of all. Had a great couple games, and I got hurt. And then, you know, Coach Casey was an old school coach at the time, and he was all about, you know, the point guard being a point guard, not shooting the pull-up threes. And I was coming from an analytics situation with Houston and, you know, those guys and Daryl Morey, Rick Adaman. I was shooting threes and pull-up threes, and, you know, me and him didn't see eye to eye. We didn't see eye to eye. And then we kind of understood that, listen, I'm going to win games for you, Coach, and I now – you trust me and I have to trust you. And I think we just formed a good, great relationship where we started to trust each other.
Then how long do you think it took you, or how long did it take you to have that love affair that you've had with that city?
Oh man, probably like after I resigned the first time, you know, the first year I was there, you know, we got the tanks tank for a player chance. We got that chance, and then we started playing well. And that's like with all sports, you know, for most sports cities, you know, they kind of, you know, fans kind of. And then once, you know, they seen how hard we played and how hard I played, and, you know, I was there so long, man, it was just like, it was home. And it still got a piece of my heart, big piece of my heart.
Then how difficult is it, after being a champion there, to actually end up going someplace else?
Very difficult. But, you know, it's a new chapter in the book. It's a new chapter in the book that's still to be written. You know, you try not to dwell on the things that you did in the past. And I've been a guy, and I'll say this to you, hear me say it, is I don't look at my career. I don't look at the things I've done. I don't look at the accomplishments. I don't look at anything. I'll look at accomplishments. I'll look at everything once I'm finished playing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can go back and really like, oh, I did this and I did that. For right now, I'm just, you know, enjoying being a professional athlete, professional basketball player, getting paid very handsomely to do a job that I love to do.
I know it's quite odd because there's an awful lot of athletes, no matter mm-hmm. what sport you're in, they'll right. look at a schedule when the season starts and they'll try to pick out certain games. If you're playing on Christmas, whatever it is, or you're playing against a former team. With you, it's different, Kyle, because yeah. with Memphis, you went back, whatever your feelings were for that. For Houston, the same thing. For Toronto, it's got to be different. Is it still a situation, though, that it's circled on the calendar for a different reason than most people have it?
It's not even circled. I said this in my media. It's not circled. It's a day I'm not looking forward to. Honestly, I'm not. I'm not looking forward to it just because of the emotions that's going to go through that day. Just the emotions of being back there and understanding what, you know, what the city has done for me, what I've done for the city, my friends, my partnership, the relationships I've built. It's not circled at all. It's not, it's a trip that I, knock on wood, I can't wait to make, but I'm not looking forward to it just because of the emotional rollercoaster that is going
to
be.
Then you've been in this league so long that you date back to Dwayne Wade and those guys celebrating the championship. Yeah. You show up the very next year.
Yeah.
What's it like, though, now that you're coming back into Miami? You've had plenty of visits to Miami.
Yeah.
What has it been about Miami over the time period? You know, this is a family show, so you know, I have an idea what it's like for a young guy going there. But how about all of a sudden you're in Miami? What are some of your remembrances over the years of why you liked coming to Miami?
I've always had a fondness of Coach Spo. I've always had a very good fondness of Coach Spo, and me and him got an opportunity to spend some time in NBA Africa. You know, I've always respected what the organization, the franchise have been about, the culture, you know, that they, you know, the culture, I understand it. It's the kind of thing that people talk about, but I just feel like it's a situation and a place where, you know, it's about championships with Pat Riley and Spoelstra and the organization. It's all about winning and winning at a high level. So that's an attraction there. Then you got, you know, Bam. You got Jimmy, a close friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're down in Florida. My family, you know, kids are getting older. Kind of want to be somewhere where I could settle in a little bit more and make this, you know, where my kids and family be.
Fourth team, this is it?
This is it for me. Knock on wood. Hopefully I win a couple championships. We win a few championships and I could just be here. You know, I say this and I'll say that, you know, I will retire as a Raptor. My one day that will happen. You know, my one day contract, hopefully I can get like a minimum on that, but hopefully they'll pay me for the 4 year, but that will be, that, but yeah, I'm looking forward to this time. You know, this will be my last team I'm playing. Hopefully the last team I'm playing at a high level for.
And everybody in Heat Nation is pleased to hear that. Couple of championships. That's all. He's Kyle Lowry, looking forward to Monday for his first game against a lot of his former teammates and friends, and more so Tuesday, February the 1st, when he makes his return to what should be a very appreciative crowd up in Toronto. When we return, we hook up next with No Ordinary Joe. Heat and Espanol radio analyst Joe Pujala joins us soon, real soon. This is Heat Weekly.
Now back to Heat Weekly on the Miami Heat Radio Network. Here's Tommy Tighe.
I've learned so much from him on the defensive end, just little tricks and things to do to on the defensive end that just help, and he's the ultimate teammate. Great dude to have in the locker room. Takes care of everybody and looks out for everyone. So he's definitely our leader on the defensive end and keeps us together.
The way P.J. Tucker has done wherever he's played, teaching the tricks of the trade these days to players such as Max Strus. Welcome back, everybody. It is the best basketball show on this station at this time. Hey, Heat fans, when the Heat win, you win with Papa John's. The day after any Heat victory, like let's say Saturday or hopefully Sunday, take 50% off all regular menu items at papajohns.com or on the app. Just enter the promo code HEATWIN to enjoy the savings and, of course, the pizza today. That would taste rather yummy, watching a little pigskin activity on Sunday. Boy, would that be a nice one to get against those 76ers. Viewing those proceedings, as he always does, involving your Miami Heat, the very talented radio analyst in Espanol, Joe Pujala. Hello, Joe. How might you be? Sounds like the lead-in we've had before. I can't guess the song. I feel like we're playing Name That Tune. We'll get to that in a second. Hopefully, we'll figure out Joe's phone problems, and we'll come back to that. And we'll discuss the situation with not only Max Strus, but P.J. Tucker, who has been instrumental as far as a rock is concerned, the way that he has helped out the younger players and the way that he's played. And I talked about in the postgame show after the game on Friday about P.J. Tucker. We are told we have Joe Pujala right now. We're talking about P.J. Tucker coming back to the lineup the other day. It was kind of interesting when you think about this over the last week, Joe. It was great to see those 10-day guys doing an awful lot in the time that you were just so shorthanded. But getting P.J. back and then getting Gabe and Dwayne in Atlanta, and before that, Max and Duncan, Jimmy Butler, and now Bam on the horizon. I guess you thank the G Leaguers for their service, but shouldn't Heat Nation right now be more excited as their core players continue to come back and show they're ready to rock and roll?
Oh, absolutely, and good morning, Zombie. Yes, I mean, you want to see them come back. We saw Jimmy Butler come back. I mean, it's great. You know, and you see the depth of this team when you have the luxury of taking someone like Caleb Martin, who had been a starter for the last seven games, move to the bench, and then he comes back last night and closes out that fourth quarter and helps you beat the Atlanta Hawks. So, you know, you got Jimmy coming back, the same thing with P.J. Tucker, Caleb Martin, these guys. It's just it's a great group to work with. Each one of them does his own little thing, and each one of them is important. And it's, what's really interesting, Tommy, is that a lot of times these guys really, really step up at the right moment. Mm-hmm. It's not just that they do what they're good at, but they do it at the right moment to assure the victory.
Well, Tucker has definitely picked up his point total. If he was only judged, though, Joe, on numbers, people would really be sadly mistaken. But in the Phoenix game, 13-7 without Butler and Bam in the lineup, and in Atlanta, does the exact same thing. Does he, like others on this roster, and I'm talking about the Butlers and the Lowrys of this club, know exactly what's needed to be done? And there he was doing it again in the game on Friday night against Atlanta. When you need him to score points, to shoot threes, he's out there doing just about anything you need him to do.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right, and it's a great point. If you just pull up the stats and you look at guys like P.J. Tucker, you see the stats, and the numbers are, they're okay. What's the big deal with this guy? Just an average player. But like you said, you would be so mistaken to look at it that way. He does so many things, like so many other guys on the Heat team. They do so many things that don't show up on the stat, or generally speaking, the casual fan doesn't pick up. I mean, you know, just defending one-on-one, making it a tough shot, a very difficult shot, deflecting passes, deflecting screens, coming off the pick-and-roll defense, all of these things that typically don't show up in the stat, but obviously the coaches do take notice of it, and that's where the value of somebody like P.J. Tucker comes in to play beyond whatever his, you know, 8 or 9 points a game, 5 or 6 rebounds a game. Again, you're thinking, well, what's the big deal? Mm-hmm. Hey, the big deal is watch 2 or 3 games with this guy and look at all the other stuff that he does, and there's the value of a guy like P.J. Tucker.
I'm with you, because even though we feel we're NBA conscious, we kind of know about the league because we do what we do, I don't know if we fully appreciated P.J.'s skills until he came here, and you get to see him on a nightly basis. But as much as we've seen other guys, Joe, have come through here and get the deserved fanfare, doesn't this player, P.J. Tucker, fill the bill as exactly what the Heat culture and a player on the roster is really all about and what they look for?
Oh, absolutely. And look, here's the other thing. He comes with a championship pedigree, so he knows what it takes to win a championship. He did it last year with Milwaukee. And again, like you said, he's got that, you know, it's funny because he's got that Heat culture DNA built into him, even though this is his first year with the club. But again, it's his mindset. It's his approach to work. It's his approach to the team game, whatever he needs to do. You know, it's funny. The other day, Jose and I, we were at, you know, broadcasting the game, And we said, you know, it's like there's 3 or 4 P.J. Tuckers on the court. He's like, he's cloning himself, because every other play was P.J. Tucker with a 3, P.J. Tucker with the defense, P.J. Tucker with the rebound. And you're thinking, this guy's all over the place. Yes. It's kind of funny. It's like they've cloned and there's 3 of them on the court at any given moment.
We're talking with Joe Pujala. He works alongside our good friend, Ricardo Montaner. No, Jose Pineda. He should be in the Hall of Fame. We're not kidding on that one. One of the great Espanol announcers that there ever has been. Let me move on to one of the top players the Heat have had in recent times. Jimmy Butler returned to the lineup after missing three games with that ankle injury. You think back, Joe, to November, same situation. He returned after the West Swing after he injured his ankle in Los Angeles, and he scored 91 points in those three games. And I'm not saying he's going to go do that again, but he starts off with 23 on Friday night. And that 9-for-9 on the line and 10 assists, was that vintage Jimmy what you expect even for a first game back from an injury?
That's Jimmy being Jimmy. You said it. I mean, it's vintage Jimmy. He comes back, and he comes back with a double double. You know, the 9-of-9 on the free throws. He's now hit 38 free throws in a row over the last few games. The 10 assists. You know, he just played great. He played great, and he played within his game. He was so smooth, so easy about it. And then at the end of the night, you know, you look at the stat, there's another double-double for Jimmy, which Jimmy Butler is really not a double-double kind of guy, but anytime, I mean, he's always up there, you know, knocking on the door with 8 or 9 assists usually. But yeah, that's just Jimmy. That's just Jimmy playing his game and just being Jimmy Butler.
Well, Butler played 30-plus minutes after the time off, and we've heard the coaching staff, Joe, for years say, when many players are out of the lineup and then they return, I want them to play X amount of minutes. Butler's case, I don't think I've ever heard that Coach Spoelstra will say, I'm going to play Jimmy 25 minutes, and you know darn well he's going to end up with 30 to 35. When he comes back into the lineup like this, do we just have to assume that when he's in there, he's 100%, and if you need him to play 40-plus minutes, he's going to do that?
Well, and I think you're absolutely right, and I think that probably Scoach would kind of laugh, behind the curtain, he would kind of laugh at himself and say, what am I talking about? You know, Jimmy's going to go out there and do what Jimmy does. And I think that they have a great understanding and a great, you know, just kind of like a communication where they can just look at each other and read each other and understand what the other one is thinking. So, yes, Spo might say, well, I'm going to watch his minutes. And then Jimmy will kind of look at Coach and kind of smirk at him and say, all right, let me go do my thing. And so I think that there's a mutual trust between the coach and the player, and the player and the coach. And again, we saw last night. Who's going to tell Jimmy that, hey, you've played too much, take a break, that's enough for tonight? Yeah. I don't think Jimmy would put up with that, right?
No.
And by the same token, I think Spo would kind of say, all right, Jimmy, if you feel good about it, if you think you can go ahead and go and, you know, do what you do. And so I think that they both understand each other, they respect each other. And they work very well with each other.
We're speaking with Heat and Espanol radio analyst Joe Pujala here on Heat Weekly. Another signing that came without a lot of fanfare has really worked out for this team, that two-way deal for Caleb Martin. For a guy who claims he's not a great defender, I think that was the most impactful two-point game I think I've seen a player play in an awful long period of time is what he did. Doesn't he seem to have what it takes doing the job that he does on players? Because in the last week, he's guarded Curry, he guarded Paul and Young twice, and did such an outstanding job disrupting what they like to do with his quickness and his length.
Well, there again, and it's the same thing that we were saying about P.J. Tucker. If you look at Caleb Martin's numbers, again, very average-looking number if you just look at his averages. But like you said, it's what he does on the court defensively. Last night, Trae Young, 0-for-2 in the fourth quarter. Now, Caleb played the whole 12 minutes, and the 4 points that Young got were free throws. So he went 0-for-2. So he shut him down. So you have a luxury of throwing in a 6-foot-7-inch wing player guarding a much smaller guy. Now, granted, I mean, Trae Young is as quick as they come, and he's a handful to guard. But nevertheless, you know, Caleb is much bigger, and he's equally quick about it, too. He's very athletic as well, too. So it's a great value of what this guy will do on the little things that really are big things, but they don't show up in the set. But again, the coaches are looking at this and saying, okay, how difficult is Caleb Martin making the shots on, you know, how difficult is Trae Young having a night when Caleb Martin is guarding him, like you said, with Curry, Wednesday in Atlanta. So he just goes in there and he makes everybody's job, usually the other point guard or maybe the shooting guard, he makes his job a whole lot more difficult, and that's what he's there for. That's what his value is in Caleb Martin.
One more thing. The goals of the team are obviously be on the edge of a championship. Second in the East right now on the heels of the Nets. They were right there, and then all of a sudden they've passed them in the last couple of days. Chicago not that far away, only a game behind them now. In the second half of the season, the hope of, I guess, everybody in Heat Nation is to stay close to the top. But I'm beginning to think that the goal is to get to the top the way that they've been playing over these last couple of weeks. Can they overtake these top two or three teams, the Bucks, the Nets, the Bulls, and give themselves the best possible postseason situation they could have?
Why not? I mean, why not? It's within range. You know, they're within a game of the Bulls, and now apparently Zach LaVine hurt his knee last night against Golden State. So I think right now the East is wide open. Now, granted, the competition is very tough. Brooklyn, you know, they've had a couple of hiccups, but Brooklyn is very tough. Even this team that's coming into town now, Philadelphia, you know, they're playing extremely well. And so I think the East is wide open. And why not? Why can't the Heat be at the very top? I mean, we've just started the second half of the season, and the Heat is one game out of first place. I don't think anybody would have imagined that, as much optimism and hope for there was at the beginning of the season. So yes, I mean, why not? If the Heat can do it, I mean, I think they're right up there with Brooklyn, Chicago, Milwaukee, and even Philadelphia that's surging now.
Joe, that was tremendous. Thank you so much for the help. Get some rest. Another big one on tap on Saturday night. Dinner tonight, the fancy eating room. I get a funny feeling. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's Philadelphia. Cheesesteaks? Does that make sense to you?
We'll be looking for the Philly cheesesteaks tonight, Tommy.
All right, Joe Pujala, radio analyst of your Miami Heat in Espanol with the one, the only, Jose Pineda. Monday, January the 17th, Toronto comes to town. That's a 7:30 game. We're on the air at 7 o'clock. Wednesday, January the 19th, the final game of the homestand, the Portland Trailblazers in town. That's also a 7:30 game, and we're on the air at 7. And then a one-game road trip. Friday night, January the 21st, the Heat go to Atlanta. That's a 7:30 start. We're on the air at 7 o'clock with that one.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.